And now, from the 2020 Vancouver International Wine Festival, Anthony Gismondi and Casey Wilson. This is BC Food and Wine Radio. Now, here's Anthony and Casey.
Hello, British Columbia, and welcome from the 2020 Vancouver International Wine Festival. I'm Tony Gismondi.
I'm Casey Wilson.
And we're live today from the floor of the Festival Tasting Room, the International Festival Tasting Room with over 165 wineries. France, of course, the theme winery across from us, just underneath the Eiffel Tower. But we're going to start out in British Columbia with a very cool story. Joining us now are Mohan Gill and Paul Jordan from Bordertown Vineyards. Gentlemen, welcome to the show. Good
nice
to see
to
you.
Here.
Mohan, good to see you. You're going to talk to me, Mohan. You
yes,
know you
I
are,
do.
Yeah. Because I want to start with you. Tell me a little bit. Your family were farmers. You started farming fruit at the very beginning. What were you growing?
We're growing cherry, peaches, apples.
Yeah.
Started earlier, 25 years ago.
25 years ago. And who gave you this crazy idea to grow grapes?
That's actually started 2005.
Yeah.
Starting growing grapes, turning out a vineyard.
Yeah, and then were you selling those grapes in the beginning? Or
yes,
yeah.
We do to other wineries.
And now you want to make wine too.
Yes,
yeah.
We're starting making wine 2013.
How does that feel?
Feels great.
Yeah?
A lot more work.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah.
But interesting to finish the product all the way to the end, I would imagine.
Right.
Yeah. So have you been a big wine drinker your whole life? Or?
No.
No. That's the best. Yeah. But you'll get hooked. Maybe
yes.
You already are hooked.
Now I'm hooked.
Yeah. Now you really pay attention to the vintage. But actually, farmers know a lot about vintages, right?
Yes.
In terms of the years, the growing seasons.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's where it's starting wine.
So where are for our listeners, tell our listeners where your vineyards are situated in BC.
We are right in Osoyoos.
Yeah.
We have 100 acres vineyards.
100 acres,
yes.
Just like that. Wow, that's fantastic.
Yes.
And that's we would say that's probably one of the warmest places in
Canada.
BC to grow. Yeah, in Canada to grow grapes. Yeah, super.
And Mohan, I'm addicted to your tasting room. The view is spectacular. And whenever we're up in that area, I sneak away while these guys golf and, you know, check out a few places.
Right.
So you've done a great job.
Thank you.
All nice. Paul, the tasting room is open. Is it open now for the season, or is it just about ready
year
to go?
Year-round open.
Yeah, year-round. Okay, yes. That's great.
I should say where it is. I don't. People seem to, when they come to the table, they where are you guys?
So yeah.
For people who know Osoyoos, it's right at the top end of town, right a block north of the junction with Highway 3 and 97.
Yep.
And it's right across the street from the big Husky station with the gigantic Canadian flag.
Yeah,
that
you can't
everybody
miss it.
Seems to know.
Yeah, everybody knows that flag. Yeah, that's where it is. Well, it's great to have you here on the show today. You brought a couple of wines, a rosé, which I think seem like runaway favorites now in BC with wine consumers. How has your rosé been performing?
It knocks it out of the park.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah, it's... Well, our consulting winemaker is Daniel Bontorn, and he is a bit of a rosé specialist.
Yeah, he is. And this is Cab Franc, no? Or
yes.
Yeah, which is, I think it's could be a signature variety for BC rosé. It could be something we could do really well, I think.
Well, you know, it has all of the, you know, watermelon and rhubarb and so on, but mm-hmm. I think what really sets it apart is how it has a bit of white pepper and a bit of a zip that's truly the Cab Franc grape coming through.
Yeah, yeah. Mohan, are you a fan of rosé?
Yes, I do.
Yeah? You like? What do you like about it?
I like about the dry style rosé. That's what we try to do.
Food friendly. Do you
yes.
do you match a lot of wine now with food? And
yes.
Because in Vancouver, well, in British Columbia in general, there is a lot of Indian cuisine as well out there. So it'd be kind of fun to have 24 hours, 7 people who know the food starting to put wine together with it, I think.
Yes.
Do you have a favorite match or a favorite food with rosé?
You're pointing
He's
to me.
He's pointing at Paul, okay.
Well, I mean, I like Mohan's family's Indian cuisine with the rosé, to be quite honest with you. When I go out there and stay there, I get treated to that, and it's an absolute dynamite pairing.
And when are you going to open a restaurant, Mohan?
That's in future plan.
Yeah.
Good to hear. Yes.
Are you still growing any fruits or vegetables?
Yes, we do.
Yeah. So you got it all covered now.
Yes, we do apples. That's why we started apple cider.
Yeah. Okay.
We'll get to that. Uh-huh.
Hey,
I see a can here of apple cider.
Pretty slick you got that in there. I like that.
He's already a radio pro.
A lot of people have problems now with workers and pickers at the end of the season. How about you? Are you all set?
We are fine.
Yeah?
We have a permanent crew.
You have a permanent crew, yeah.
Yes.
So you're all set to go.
Yes.
That's fantastic.
So when you say a permanent crew, do they work how many months of the year?
There's a permanent is a 12-month even.
Really?
Year. They work full year round.
Yeah. Well, actually, it's kind of good with wine because I guess there's things to do over the winter that there wasn't to do when you were just growing fruits, perhaps.
Right.
Yeah. And do you sell fruit, too? Like, do you have a fruit stand that also?
No, actually. No. I do sell fruit, pack fruit.
Yeah.
But we sell to not direct to the consumer.
Not direct to the consumer, yeah. Fantastic. Okay, we better get to the wine here. So we tried the rosé. How much is the rosé?
Well, retail roughly? early 20s, early to mid.
Okay. Early 20s. That sounds kind of hip. You mean like 21 bucks, 22 bucks.
Yeah.
Okay, I like it. And the red wine you brought was, it's interesting. The name alone is interesting.
This is the Living Desert Red.
The Living Desert Red.
I know, great name.
Why did you call it that?
Well, Mohan, you were the one who came from...
Right in the desert.
So it's just a matter, you know, the whole Osoyoos around there, that's pretty much a moniker for the area, the Living Desert. You know,
yes.
Very alive there, especially with all the grape growing.
I can feel it. I've been telling this story recently. I was in the south of France at a very special biodynamic vineyard, and when I got out of the car, the smell of the garrigue, of the wild herbs in the scrubland of the south of France was so intense, it was almost overpowering. And I just couldn't get over how fresh it was and how pervasive it was. And in the South Okanagan, you have the same. I mean, you have this special smell that comes from that's released, I think, from the sagebrush and things in the air. It's unique in a wine growing region.
And it definitely comes through on the finish with the likes of the Living Desert Red.
Yeah.
You actually detect it.
I think when you see wine writers or Casey, when you're drinking the wine and you say you find a savoriness in the wine, or some people say spice, but for me it's more of a savory character from the South Okanagan, which really ups the complexity and freshness. It makes the wine really interesting, sip after sip after sip, I think.
And can you say that's umami?
You could say it's umami-like, yeah, for sure.
Yes.
Yeah, that dried herb character. But, well, I think it's released into the air when the temperature's 38 or 40 degrees, and somehow the oils get released, and then they float in the vineyard. And even though the molecules, I don't know, it's beyond me, the science, but I see it and taste it in the glass. So.
Well, you definitely detect it in the Cabernet Franc, which is the flagship red for the winery.
Yeah.
And obviously you'll find it even a little bit in the rosé. And in the red that we have here, the Living Desert Red, being the bulk of it being Cabernet Franc with Merlot and Cabernet Sauvignon.
Mm-hmm.
So it definitely comes through in the wine, for sure.
Yeah. Two lovely wines. We're drinking Bordertown wines. You're here at the Wine Festival. If anybody's going to drop by tonight or tomorrow, you can visit the booths and taste a number of different Bordertown wines, or head up to the winery, which is open all year round, which is kind of nice. I like that. Okay.
And I've heard a rumor that you have wine on tap. What's that all about?
Yeah, we've gotten into that, and it's been very successful for us. You know, it's an opportunity to get liquid in people's mouths. It's almost like having a buy-the-glass listing instantly.
Yeah.
Yes.
So we've got the Pinot Gris and the Cabernet Franc. We've even got some rosé. And then we have our value blend, which a lot of the restaurants use as sort of the house wines. Mm-hmm. So
this available, you mean in restaurants?
Yes.
Or, yeah.
Yeah, off the tap. And, you know, it's gotten to a point where they've perfected it so that it's fresh for over 6 months, which is more than enough time than they need to sell it.
Yeah.
So.
I would love to have that at home.
Yeah.
That system at home.
Me too.
Well, and also it's a very green system. You know, in this day and age when we're trying to reduce our carbon footprint,
exactly.
This is a great way to handle wine because you don't have the weight and all the transportation woes with bottles that... So that's good, and it keeps it fresh, too.
It has many advantages.
I love it. Well, I don't want to run out of time because you actually brought a can here, which Mohan mentioned earlier. What are we going to taste here?
Well, this is the hard-pressed cider, and we thought that
given what does that mean, hard-pressed?
Oh, you know, it's just a name that came to me, hard-pressed, and then we have a little moniker here. You'd be hard-pressed to find a better apple cider.
Oh, my God, that's just the best. Yeah. Okay.
So, basically, you know, Mohan had all the apples, so why not do something useful with them?
Yeah.
And
it's tough, Mohan, selling apples, I hear at the moment, in terms of the price that people are offering and how much. Why is that? I mean, it takes a lot of time to grow an apple. And
yes.
But the price is ridiculously low.
If we're comparing to growers, that's 20 years ago, same price as today we have.
Price in 20 years. Unbelievable. Maybe we have to do something about that. Well, maybe cider's the answer.
Cider's the answer, that's correct.
How much cider is in a can, or how many apples are in a can of cider?
Oh, jeez.
We can say one apple and cider.
Okay, that's pretty cool. I like it.
Now, what we did was we aimed for a style that was somewhere right down the middle between craft, so crisp and dry, and mainstream, so real fleshy apple flavor to it without it being too sweet. And that seems to have really hit a chord with the buyers. And
it is nice. That dry finish I like, because usually it lingers around. I don't want that. I got it all in the mid-palate, and then it cleans up dry.
Yeah, and it's not too harsh that you could actually have more than one of these. And you know.
What would you eat with that?
Oh, geez, you could do all kinds of things with cider. I mean, generally the sorts of things that you would pair with white wines, you know, especially, aromatic, fruity white wines.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
How about an afternoon date?
You got that right
yeah,
there.
Yeah, that could be good.
Wow, this is interesting.
Holy smokes. Yes.
Can you stay on another 5 minutes?
Border Town hard-pressed apple cider. Where can we buy that, and what will it set us back?
We launched it late last summer when we were able to get it out, and it was in the private market. But the LDB seemed to be quite pleased with it, and so we're launching in next week into the LDB stores. So
great. Gentlemen, thanks so much for joining us today on the BC Food and Wine Radio Network. Always great to chat with you. Mohan, keep going. We want to see some recipe pairing things from you in the months to come.
I want to see a restaurant.
Yeah, a restaurant would be great.
That will happen in future.
Mohan Gill, Paul Jordan from Border Town Vineyards, just beside the giant flag in the town of Osoyoosh. You can't miss it. You're listening to the BC Food and Wine Radio Network. We're live from the floor of the Vancouver National Wine Festival. I'm Tony Gismondi.
I'm Casey Wilson.
We'll be right back.